I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. It is good to gather together this morning. Welcome to this time of worship here at First Presbyterian Church. As you are gathering together here in person, we invite you to grab those pew pads, pass those along, fill them out, pass them back, see who's worshiping with you. And if you're interested in joining the church, looking for becoming a member, what that's all about, please include some contact information there as we'll be having a new member class coming up. We can reach out to you with that information. Many different things continue to go on in the life of the church. We want to lift up today family of Don Peachy. See, he passed away on Thursday. Don's funeral will be this coming Thursday at 2 p.m. here at church. So we'll be keeping Don's family in our prayers. Be celebrating his life here, remembering amazing life that he had and all the blessings that God offered through him. Also on that day, don't be surprised here in the next week or two, you're going to see a big mound over by the playground. We're getting new mulch delivered, so that's going to be in there and just kind of sitting for a little bit until we can get it over the fence efficiently and without damaging everything, especially the new parking lot. So bear with us and work with us as we have that pile of mulch sitting over there for a few weeks. Today is annual meeting after worship, so after worship, when I give my benediction, I'll offer a prayer for a meal, and then you're invited to go directly into Fellowship Hall for a potluck meal. If you didn't bring something to eat, that's fine. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of food there. And once we get in there, get settled in, we will begin our annual meeting and try to click through that fairly efficiently, but to be able to hear the amazing things that God has been doing here in this household of ministry over the last year. Look ahead to what God might be doing in the future. Noticed out here continuing to collect canned goods for Super Bowl caring. Doesn't matter, you know, which team that you pick. You can pick whichever team you want to. We don't have refs out there that are going to be moving the cans around to a designated spot. Won't be any of that. So wherever you place your food, that's fine. Pick a team that you want to. Right now, I think the Packers are still winning our playoff season. So there we go. Go Pack. Are there any other announcements, joys, concerns that need to be shared this morning? If not, let us prepare our hearts that God's Spirit might meet with our spirit to open our eyes and to allow us to feel God's presence and to leave here changed, new people, as the light of Christ is brought in and the bell is tolled.
Good morning. Please join with me in the call to worship and stand if you are able. The Spirit of God is upon us.
We are all created as people, created in God's image.
The Spirit of God is upon us.
We are called to be the body of Christ, each with a purpose.
The Spirit of God is upon us. Let us worship God, who binds us together in love and service. Almighty God, by grace alone, you call us and accept us in your service. Strengthen us by your Spirit and make us worthy of your call. Empower us anew, we pray, with hearts of love to proclaim the reconciling word among people. Remind us that we are all members of one body, and if one member suffers, we all suffer. Open our hearts and our minds that we would see you in this time of worship. Amen. Throughout the story of the world, God has called his people. God has called them into relationship, into honesty, and into repentance. God continues calling us to turn away from the things that separate us from God and from each other. Together, let us confess our sins against God and neighbor. Together, let us seek forgiveness from the one who promises to always offer us grace. Let us together confess our sins, saying, Amazing God, you alone know how many times we have treated you like the prophets who battled Elijah. You alone know the many times that we have placed our demands upon you and expected you to answer in our time. Forgive us for the many ways we have disregarded your power and your will. Forgive us for the many ways we have allowed our demands to cause harm to ourselves and to others. Please take a few moments to offer your own personal silent confessions. Lord, hear our prayers. You alone know our true hearts. Fill us with your Spirit that our hearts would become compassionate, loving hearts. Remind us again of the grace that is offered through Jesus Christ. Amen. Do not fear, says the Lord, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. God is doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Hear these instructions from Colossians 3:15. The peace of Christ must control your hearts, a peace into which you were called in one body. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please take this time to pass the peace among your neighbors. Our first reading today is from Psalm 19. It's page 498 in the Pew Bible, page 677 in the Common English Bible. Please join me when it's your time to respond. Heaven is declaring God's glory. The sky is proclaiming his handiwork. One day gushes the news to the next, and one night informs another what needs to be known. Of course, there's no speech, no words, their voices can't be heard, but their sound extends throughout the world. Their words reach the ends of the earth. God has made a tent in heaven for the sun. The sun is like a groom coming out of his honeymoon suite. Like a warrior, it thrills at running its course. It rises in one end of the sky. Its circuit is complete at the other. Its heat. The Lord's instruction is perfect, reviving one's very being. The Lord's law are faithful, making naive people wise. The Lord's regulations are right, gladdening the heart. The Lord's commands are pure, giving light to the eyes. Honoring the Lord is correct, lasting forever. The Lord's judgments are true. All of these are righteous. They are more desirable than gold, than tons of pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, even dripping off the honeycomb. No doubt about it, your servant is enlightened by them. There is a great reward in keeping them. But can anyone know what they've accidentally done wrong? Clear me of any unknown sin and save your servant from willful sins. Don't let them rule me. I'll be completely blameless. I'll be innocent of great wrongdoing. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Today's gospel reading, prescribed to us by the Revised Common Lectionary, begins our journey this year through Luke's gospel. Today we are reading from the fourth chapter of Luke's gospel, verses 14 through 21. Listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been raised. On the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue as he normally did and stood up to read. The synagogue assistant gave him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him. He began to explain to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. All right. Well, I brought stuff for us to look at today. So if you can see, if you can't see, come closer and we can look. So we've been talking a lot about sharing the good news. Does anybody remember what the good news is? Anybody? No? Well, let's talk about it again. Sometimes that's a word that we don't always hear a lot, is it? So the good news is that God loves you. God loves you so much that God had Jesus come to this world, to earth, that he would forgive our sins so that we can live in heaven with God forever. And that's pretty awesome that God loves you so that much. So we need to share that with all the people, and we do that in lots of different ways. And some of the times we tell the stories of Jesus, right? You tell the stories of Jesus with your friends. You talk about it with your family. Sometimes we share the love of Jesus with people who need food. We share that with the Super Bowl of Caring. We're bringing food out for other people. We do that with Feed My Starving Children, which a lot of you have done that already too. Sometimes we share God's love by taking turns and showing kindness to other people, either at school or at home or wherever you are. We also, out in the narthex, we're sharing warm clothes, socks and shoes, or socks and, well, if you wanted to bring shoes, you could, but socks and mittens and hats and scarves with people who need it, especially on these really cold days. So Jesus asked us to share that good news with the whole world. Wow, that's kind of a tall order. That's kind of a lot to do, isn't it? But God doesn't have us doing that alone. So let's take a look. We'll see if I can make this work pretty good. So let's pretend that's the world down there. Looks pretty big, isn't it? And we're going to share God's love, that good news, all over the world. So let's see. If I just put a couple drops. Can I have you hold that a second? You want to hold this just a second? Thank you. All right. So, I'm going to spread some good news a little bit. Is it going everywhere? Can you spread a little good news? Just a little bit. You want to spread a little good news? Here, can I hold? There you go. Put one little drop right in there. Just got to give it a little squeeze. Oh, okay, ready? One more squeeze. Wow. That was a lot of squeezing, but it's still not everywhere, is it? So if we kind of move it around a little bit, maybe we can get it to do some stuff. But I don't know. The good news is that God asked us. That's kind of, but not really. God said, you don't have to do that by yourself. I have sent the Holy Spirit to do that with you. So how do we get that? Well, we come to worship and we worship God together. We learn the stories and we read our scripture and we do all of those things and we talk about God and we get filled with the Holy Spirit. So here we're getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let's see what happens. Oh, wow. It turned everything became beautiful and colorful. We just needed the Holy Spirit to help us do that. Well, sometimes we think we know. We know how to share. We know how to do all those things. And we get pretty good and we think, well, I don't know. I'm a little busy. I don't have a lot of time to be going to church. Well, you know, I've read those scriptures before. I don't really need to talk about them anymore. I know what to do. And so we start thinking that maybe we could do this all on our own. So we start sharing good news. We start sharing. And we do some more sharing. Oop. And some more sharing. And we said, you know, I just don't really have time to be spending time in with God. And look what happens. Huh. It's kind of a cloudy little mess. Isn't it? It doesn't look beautiful like our world over there. Sometimes when we get all caught up into thinking that we know all the things, we realize that we really don't. That God is there to help us. The Holy Spirit is there to lead us. That's kind of a humbling experience. It means that we learn that we need God, don't we? We need God in our lives. So let's take a little time and let's talk with God about what we can do in the world and how we can spread God's love. And let's take a little time to connect with God each day to make sure that our world isn't becoming this gray and cloudy place, but more like this beautiful. Isn't that pretty? It's like a stained glass window, isn't it? Well, let's pray. Loving and gracious God, please help us to love and serve others, those in our family, in our school, in our neighborhood, in our community, and all around the world. We thank you for sharing your spirit with us to guide us and to help us to share your good news with the world. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your plan, and reminding us that we can do amazing things with you, that you can work through us to share your love and to help others. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Let us pray the words of today's psalm. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is the Sunday designated in our bylaws that we have our annual congregational meeting, and we celebrate all of those things that God has done through us over the past year. This household of ministry that we call First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac is blessed, very blessed. Are we not? I mean, over the course of this first year of my serving here with you as Pastor, I've been amazed at the numerous ways that God has used us to minister to many people around the globe throughout the history of our congregation being here in this place. Members of this household of ministry have told me many different stories of following visions to start new ministries, or ways in which we responded to other visions of starting new ministry by supporting them, either supporting them financially, providing space here, or by providing some physical support, investing our time, efforts into getting these other ministries up and going. The list could go on for hours. The ones that came to mind very quickly for me would be the Just Fair Market, Care Inc., Back to School, Feed My Starving Children Mobile Pack, Loaves and Fishes, Broken Bread, Homeless Shelter, Serving Thanksgiving Meals, Gifts from the Angel Tree, Helping Out with Sleep and Heavenly Peace, St. Catherine Drexel Center, Alcoholics Anonymous, Versity Blood Drives, hosting concerts and recitals, hosting denominational meetings, presbytery training events here, providing educational scholarships, encouraging college students as they're off in college and feeling away from their family of faith, letting them know they're still connected, taking mission trips to a variety of locations, supporting individual missionaries financially. We could go on and on and on of all these different things that we factor into our regular budget, and we also have special offerings. And all of these ministry opportunities, they're all showered in prayer. And it's amazing. We are blessed, blessed to be a blessing to others. We've also been blessed by many other ministries. But we don't think about that as much, do we? That doesn't get as much attention. The most obvious moment in history that I've heard over this first year is when the downtown church burned and Lighthouse Church was gracious enough to allow us to worship there. That was BC, before Craig, so I wasn't here for that, but I heard that story from many different people. And the thankfulness that another church would be there and be willing to help us out. We don't give enough attention to the many ways in which individuals, local businesses, bless us, minister to us. Many times we don't see it as a ministry to us. Just this year when Lisa Electric installed all the new lighting in here, they blessed us by doing a few extra minor tasks when they had their big lift in here. Now, granted, John and Dave and many of the building and grounds volunteers also did quite a few things here to make their job a little bit easier, but they still didn't have to do these extra little things. We were thankful, but that is a blessing to us. And we don't often talk about those as much as we should. When members of the church, even friends of members of the church, volunteer their time or bring in special equipment that they might have to be able to help us out and to get a task done that we need to, we are the recipients of God's blessings through them. But do we think of it in those terms? As being a recipient of others. It's not what we typically talk about, even on a day of an annual meeting. Most of the stories that we share are the stories of what God has done through us for others. After worship, when we gather in the fellowship hall to break bread, to celebrate all that God has done during this past year, 2024, it's a time for us to also be thinking of the ways in which we have been blessed by others. We need to be aware of the fact that the culture around us has conditioned us to give primary attention to what we've done for other people, what we can do for others. And that's how we interpret Scripture many, many times. The world has taught us to pay attention, to look for those ways that we can help other people out. I've been guilty of that time and time again. It's hard to break out of that mode. We think of how we can make someone else's life better from our perspective. But is it really necessary? Are we making their life better? I'm guessing that's the frame through most of us, through which most of us heard today's scripture reading, when Jesus read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's a powerful message. And many Christians hear those words from a position of power and authority. We hear this as a command to go out and do all sorts of things for other people. Of course, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in God's name. But what if what we are doing isn't entirely in the power of the Holy Spirit? What if it isn't necessarily what God wants done in that moment? What if all our planned actions are actually, unfortunately, unknowingly, some deceptive manipulation of the forces of evil at work in our world? The history of Christianity is filled with painfully harmful actions that Christians have done to many people. Dr. Lloyd Steffen wrote in his book, Christianity and Violence, "Religious people can act violently, and when they do, they employ religious justifications for violence, even if the religion places a heavy emphasis on peace, justice, forgiveness, love, and nonviolence. Christians over the centuries have appealed to sacred scripture and theology to endorse slavery, white supremacy, inquisition, war, colonial oppression, and varieties of racism, sexism, and all manner of violence. They have also appealed to scripture and theology to oppose these same things." Like any statistic, we can use scripture to do whatever we want. So we need to be cautious about what it is that we do and why we are doing it. It may sound biblical. It may feel like the right thing. But history tells us that we need to carefully consider our actions from God's perspective. We need to do that as we discern together and hear multiple voices and perspectives. What exactly did Jesus have in mind when he read those words of Isaiah about preaching good news to the poor? Do you think Jesus puffed out his chest and said, "The Holy Spirit sent me to proclaim good news to the poor"? Or maybe he had a different tone in his voice. Like receiving a text, we need to consider, what is the tone of the person who sent that text? What do they really mean by that? Who are the poor? As Luke's gospel unfolds, the poor in his gospel are identified as those who are worthy hearers of the good news. The poor are often seen as the economically disadvantaged, the marginalized of society, but Luke expands it, and that isn't necessarily it. That may be a correlation, but that's not the main definition. Just like in our psalm reading Joanne read today, when the psalmist speaks of how the earth, creation, speaks, there's no speech, there's no words, yet the voice of creation is heard. Sometimes we need to listen a little bit more carefully. What is this good news? Good news is God's word, salvation through Jesus Christ. Yes. Good news from Isaiah's time refers specifically to the restoration of Israel after the exile. And there, the poor, again, are not simply financially poor, more so the afflicted, the oppressed. When Jesus reads these words of Isaiah about release, recovery, and liberation, they all have to do with freedom. But it isn't a freedom that we typically would think of. We need to step out of our frame of reference in our world and think of what would freedom have been like to these people coming back from exile. It isn't just freedom to do whatever they want or whatever they believe is right. It's a freedom that's a release. The freedom that Jesus is bringing when he says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it," is much different than either of those freedoms. It's a freedom from being captive, enslaved to religious duty. It's a freedom that comes from a real change in the spirit and actions of the person who hears and accepts this good news. This is something we need to hear, to break out of an understanding of volunteering and serving in church as a duty, as an obligation, and to live out that passion and the excitement and the joy of serving others. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor. So rather than jumping to how we might be called to preach good news to others, and just like with the psalm and in other places, it's not just about verbally speaking, but living out this good news in our everyday, ordinary lives. Before we jump into an answer, we need to pause and listen. We need to discuss with one another, how might Jesus be offering the good news of true freedom to you and I, rather than what we have to offer? What is that good news for us? That is what we need to be receptive to as we gather together to worship. One of the ways of becoming more in tune with this is to look back over your life and to think, when is it that you've been a recipient of the good news of Jesus Christ? When has there been a moment in your life that you have felt that release, that freedom, that new life, the grace, the forgiveness, the joy? When have you received hospitality from a stranger? When were the eyes of your heart opened to see a new way of interpreting Scripture and living out the good news? When have you been given forgiveness and a fresh new start? Maybe through allowing that portion of your worldview to be executed on the cross with Jesus, to say, you know, that way of viewing the world is actually pretty deceptive and sinful. And allow a little death moment, that you might experience the power of the resurrection. These are the stories that we need to be hearing. These are the stories we need to tell to one another. And sometimes it's a little bit scary, especially when the way that we are understanding Scripture as we get older and look back over all of our life, it seems to change a little bit. And we're not quite so naive and not quite so gung-ho to accept a certain way and to be able to accept the fact that there are places in Scripture where it could be either or, and that's okay. We need to tell the stories of God's holy words. We can see that lived out throughout Scripture. The hard part of life isn't choosing between good and bad. It's choosing between good and great. Between two good things and choosing which one of those is better. And that's what we're called to do, to proclaim the good news. There are many stories we could tell. What is the good news for the moment that needs to be proclaimed? What is the good news that we need to hear afresh today? Jesus unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. May we have the strength to become weak enough and poor enough to truly hear the good news of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Jennifer to come forward. I believe she has a moment for a mission for us. I'll feed my starving children mobile pack.
Well, as you can see on our little first sign there, what can you do with 29 cents nowadays? Not a whole lot. But you can feed a child a meal. So that's one of the most important things I want you to remember today. Feed My Starving Children has been, a mobile pack, has been in the city of Fond du Lac since 2013. And we have come together as a community of churches to pack nutritious meals that get sent all over the world to children that need it. The process is simple. Donations are given by people, like you and I, to fund the ingredients. Then volunteers come, they pack the meals, all ages as you can see, and the meals are donated to Feed My Starving Children partners all over the world. 91% of the donations of food go to the food program itself. and 99% of the meals get to their expected donate or designations spots. If you look on Charity Navigator, that is one of the best charities there because of their great performance. Last year, we had about 12 churches in our community that came together and packed, and I'd like to see anybody here who's either packed last year or any other year, could you raise your hand? Yeah, pretty much I'm speaking to the choir here, right? So last year, we packed 612 boxes, and our meals went to Nicaragua and also to Togo, which is in Africa. This year, we've upped our goal just a little bit. Our pack is going to be on March 8th, and the total number of meals we're going to pack is almost 140,000, just under, for a cost of $41,000 and 600 volunteers. We have already raised $10,000 towards that goal. There's two ways that you can help. You can either donate funds or you can come help and pack, and there are jobs, sit-down jobs, stand-up jobs, jobs for everyone. Just as I said before, 29 cents is the cost of a meal. So $106 can feed a child for an entire year. I'm not sure about you, but it's hard to even go to the grocery store for a week of groceries for $106. Meals are needed everywhere around the world right now at this point. And ways that you can help, you can go to our church website and donate through there. You can also, there's a tree outside with different hearts on it. This Have a Heart campaign is going on throughout our community and in our churches. If you take a heart, you can take a heart and put your donation inside the envelope. That envelope can either go into the offering plate or it can go into the metal lockbox right outside the office. And then you can put the heart back on the table or hang it back up on the tree. If you have any questions about any of those ways to donate, please let me know. And we are starting to do sign-ups. So there's a sign-up sheet out here. If you want to volunteer to sign up to pack, you can do that. The sign-up sheet will be open to the public starting on February 8th. And I'll tell you, it's if you've never done this before, sign-ups fill up usually within the first day. So if you're interested in packing, please sign up as soon as you can, and I'll make sure you get a spot to go. So thank you very much for your time and for your support of this program, and most especially if you could pray for our mobile pack and for all of the meals that go to children all over the world. Thank you.
This time I invite the ushers to come forward to gather and collect God's tithes and our offerings as we place our very selves, our hearts, in these plates as they go through for God to transform us and change us and redeem us.
Thank you.
Gracious God, accept these gifts that we offer to you. Multiply them and use them that your good news might be known throughout all the earth and that we might know more of the truth of your good news in our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let us turn to God in a time of intercessory prayer as we offer up prayers for one another. Gracious God, as we gather together in this place, as we hear your word proclaimed, as we sense your spirit, we know that we are comforted. We know that we are stirred out of complacency. We know that we are being called to become more and more like you. And yet, there are so many voices from the world that tell us what that is to look like. Give us clarity and help us to encourage one another, to share the many accounts throughout Scripture of your people who have turned back to you, who have been a blessing to others, of those whom you have blessed. Lord, allow us to be able to see those moments in life in which you are truly blessing us through others. Help us to see those moments when you are present in the stranger in our midst. Lord, continue to shape us into your people as we continue to learn more and more what that means. We lift up to you today those who are struggling with grief and loss. We pray that your presence would be felt in a powerful way. Lord, there's loss not only of life, family, loss of material possessions. For all of those who have endured so many aspects of fire and storm damage, we lift up those who are struggling to recover out of what to us seems like a minor snowfall, but to them is life stopping. Lord, we ask that you be with those who are hungry. Allow us to see the blessings in our life and to take from our abundance and to share with others. Lord, be with those who are fearful, anxious, uncertain of what this world is becoming and what it might mean for them. Lord, be with our nation and allow healing to take place. Allow us to set an example of conversations and discussions, listening more than talking, seeking to understand more than to be understood. Lord, be with us in all of those ways in which we need your presence. May you heal our hearts. May you be at work through all of those you have placed into leadership roles, whether it be physicians in medical centers, leaders in the courts in our nation, or whether it be leaders living out everyday life, having an impact on all of those whom you place in our path. Lord, allow us to acknowledge the many blessings so that we might be a blessing to others. We pray this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing Live Into Hope as our sending hymn. Place of worship, you're invited to go directly into the fellowship hall and to grab some food, to find a table, to sit down, start eating. Then the meeting will begin around 10:15. Let me offer a prayer for a meal and to give a benediction for our service. Gracious God, bless the food that we are about to partake, those who have prepared it. May we see you as we break bread together in the lives of one another. And may we be seen as your hands and your feet to all those you place in our path. Go now where Christ leads. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Hear the good news being proclaimed to you. Wait in hope for God. Release your grip on controlling the outcomes. Embrace the inbreaking of God's kingdom and allow the Spirit to embrace your soul in God's silence. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.